The Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order. A quorum is present. Members, Representative Zalesnikar is participating remotely today. First order of business is the minutes from May 14th, 2026. Representative Jordan, would you like to move the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Jordan moves the minutes from May 14th, 2026. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. Next order of business is the supplemental calendar for the day. We're proposing calendaring one bill on the supplemental calendar for Saturday, May 16, 2026, House File 2354 Norris. I move the adoption of the calendar for the day pursuant to Rule 1.21. The Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will designate Saturday, May 16th for the adoption of the supplemental calendar for the day. Is there any discussion on that? Co-Chair Long.
I urge support, Mr. Chair.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the supplemental calendar is adopted. Next order of business is going to be Senate File 5200. Representative Liebling, if you can come forward. And Representative Scott is a co-author. Would you like to move Senate File 5200?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Scott moves Senate File 5200, the corrections bill, before the committee and recommends that it be placed on the general register. Representative Liebling, thanks for being here. Go ahead and present your bill.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and members. So Senate File 5200 is our annual corrections bill. I think you, probably the members of this committee, understand what this is doing, but I wanted to take the opportunity just to say that we have an unwritten rule in the House, and that is that we never blame our staff for errors. We blame members for not recognizing errors, although obviously our staff often are the ones to find them and correct them. And this bill is the vehicle for correcting our errors that come up at the end of session, things like the one error that we've discovered so far, which is actually in the judiciary bill, which is just an enactment date, an effective date. So the way this will work is what's in the bill right now, the contents of the bill are really just a placeholder. This will not be in the actual corrections bill. Kind of like when you have those forms where there's gobbledygook in there and you fill it in with your own text, that's kind of what this is doing. And so when we come to the floor, we will have a DE amendment for the bill, and the DE amendment is created by a very careful process of making sure that everyone, all of the chairs who are impacted and the authors who are impacted by an error that is found, are all in agreement about the fix. So this is one of those bills where everyone can feel very confident that what is being done, kind of at the last second, it's often, if not the last bill, one of the last bills to move off the floor, is to correct any errors that have been found in bills that we have passed this session. So the alternative, of course, would be waiting for the revisers bill, which wouldn't happen until the next year. So if there's something like an enactment date, something that really needs to be fixed, was just an oversight. The example in the bill before you is just a simple digit was left off of a statutory reference, that kind of thing. So that's the process, members. I could give you more detail about the error we found so far, but I don't think you want that. And that's the bill.
Thank you, Representative Liebling. Is there anyone want to testify about the bill? No? It's a very exciting bill. Any member discussion? Well, thank you, Representative Liebling. We do have a very complicated job, and we have incredible staff that helps us with that job. And so we appreciate the work that you and Representative Scott are doing on this, as well as the staff that's helping you with it.
Thank you. Thank you, members.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Scott renews her motion that Senate File 5200 be placed on the general register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
The motion prevails, and Senate File 5200 is re-referred and placed on the general register. Next order of business is the end of session resolutions. The Rules Committee adopts end of session resolutions every year, and we're doing this housekeeping today. The first one before us is the 2026 R14 resolution on parking. Is Mr. Squira here? If you could come forward, would you care to... Would you be willing to present this resolution.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Pete Score. I serve as the controller and the CFO of the House of Representatives. This is the first of many end-of-session resolutions that you'll see today. This is a sergeant-at-arms resolution on parking. Lori Hodapp is not available to meet with us this morning. This continues the use and management of the parking facilities that we use, and it's the same resolution as last year.
Thank you, Mr. Squira. Any member discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the resolution is adopted. Next, if Mr. Murphy would come forward, next is resolution 2026-R15, resolution on facilities. Mr. Murphy, if you could explain the resolution.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. It seems like I saw you all fairly recently. But I'm here to talk about the resolution on facilities. It's pretty self-explanatory. This would authorize the Chief Clerk of the House and the Chief Sergeant at Arms to maintain facilities during the interim. That are things like room scheduling and facilitating hearing rooms and things and keeping things up and ready, and also accommodating various groups through the House educational programs, the YMCA Youth and Government, Girl State, Youth Leaders Organizations, and 4-H. And before, with due respect to Representative Schultz, I would be willing to take an invitation from Boy State. If they so reach out, we'll see if we can fit them in the agenda. And that's basically it. If anybody has any questions, I'm here to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Is there any member discussion? Co-Chair Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank you and your staff, Ms. Murphy, for all the work you do to help support the programming over the summer, from the youth and government to the other programs. I know it takes a lot of effort, but it's always great to come in over the summer and see our spaces being put to good use by young people learning about their government. So thank you for the efforts.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the resolution is adopted. Next is the 2026-R16 journal resolution. Again, Mr. Murphy, would you like to present this resolution?
Once again, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committees. This is the journal resolution that authorizes the chief clerk to approve the minutes or the journal for the last day of session, and also to include in the supplement to the journal, which is simply letters from the governor signifying that he has signed certain bills into law, letters from the Secretary of State. This is all kind of constitutional requirement to kind of make the books balance. And further, there would be, if there were any veto message or any of these formal legal communications, that would also be in the supplement.
Thank you. Any member discussion on this resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next is the 2026-R18 resolution on continued house operations and advance of organization. This is a new resolution this year, but it's similar to House File 3679. Which passed off the House floor 132-0 on May 4th. Mr. Gehring, could you explain the R18 resolution?
Mr. Chair and committee members, the R18 resolution addresses what is now about a one-week gap between the expiration of current member terms and when the House is scheduled to convene and organize on the first Tuesday after the second Monday in January of the odd-numbered year. And during that period of time, since there is no official membership, there's no speaker to direct administrative operations of the House. And so this resolution would provide that the chief clerk is authorized to direct actions necessary to conduct the orderly administrative business of the House during that one-week period until a speaker and a House is elected and duly organized.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. Any member discussion or questions? Co-Chair Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I just want to urge support of the resolution. This was one that we adopted earlier, as you mentioned, and is a good practice to make sure that we have an orderly transition in that interim period.
Thank you, Co-Chair Long. Vice Chair Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I look at line 16, and that leaves me with a little bit of question as to
why we would choose the mutual agreement of designated leaders of the two largest incoming caucuses, and just wondering for the record if maybe we could have a little bit of discussion amongst members or from staff as to why, assuming, and maybe we shouldn't assume, given 67-67, but why we would go with the two largest incoming caucuses versus language that would direct it to be whichever is the largest caucus.
Thank you, Representative Schultz. I think that is due to the fact that the two largest incoming caucuses generally have some idea about which one's in the majority or the minority and how that would impact staffing of the House. Obviously, we are this year dealing with a whole new 67-67 situation and different staffing level that had been before, but when we've had a clear majority and minority caucus, there have been there's historic practice as to what the size of the staff would be for each one of those. Co-Chair Schultz.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Schultz.
Thank you. Yeah, my question is just like, is this just delaying what might be the ultimate decision of whomever becomes the controlling caucus and just delay their decision making on decisions as it relates to largely nonpartisan staff, as I read it? Until the point in which the House is organized?
Well, it deals with the fact that the House will not be formally organized, although there'll be a period of time where people will generally understand what will happen when the House is organized, and so the House can prepare for that eventuality. Co-Chair Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just add that I think this is meant to, before there is a speaker's election, make sure that any hiring decisions are joint between both caucuses, and so that seems like it would be a good practice no matter who's in the majority or the minority.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The resolution prevails, and the motion prevails, and the resolution is adopted. That concludes our agenda for today. The meeting is adjourned.